Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Previously on the Game On Podcast.
All right, let's go to Port Adelaide. We did talk about Ollie Lord very, very briefly there, but obviously playing West Coast 3:30 here in Adelaide on Sunday. Where do we sort of see that one falling? We know that West Coast have got their troubles.
Port by 68 points.
Ooh, there you go. Even a number on it.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe we should play a little bit of closest to the pin, closest to the pin on that one. Well, let's do that. Gold Coast.
I'm going Gold Coast to win by 40 points.
Okay, I'm going Gold Coast to win by 12. Oh. And I'm going to go Port Adelaide to win by 48.
Okay.
All right, let's see who's closest to the pin. Yep. Bit of fun there anyway. Yep.
Sportscast SA presents Game On. Game On. South Australian's destination for everything sports. Local, national and international sports. AFL football, soccer, basketball, golf, baseball, tennis, cricket, and any other sports played in this wide world. And we're going to have a blast doing it. So sit back, relax, and let's do this thing. Welcome to Game On.
Welcome to Game On. My name's Pete, and once again, Malcolm's in the studio, and a bit of fun there with Closest to the Pin last week. And
yep.
I think we might have to do that as a regular segment each week.
You got up there. I was a bit unlucky with the weather, mind you. Geez, I reckon at three-quarter time it was looking like it was going to be unders. So,
exactly right. Yeah. And then if Port Adelaide kicked straight, you'd have been well and truly in front in that respect.
Well, but it would have been closer to 100 if Port had kicked straight.
That's something we'll talk about a little bit later. So let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, today's special guest is Tom Kelly. Really looking forward to having a chat with Tom, but we'll talk SNFL, SNFLW, and some soccer. But we'll kick off with the AFL as it stands at the moment, round 1.5. That's probably the best way of explaining it. We'll start off with Adelaide. Where does this round 1 performance sit with you? What are your thoughts, mate?
The worry for me is I still think Taylor Walker is their most important player. Now, not so much what he does, but it's his direction to get other people to go to the right spots. They still look, you know, it was last year, the game against Western Bulldogs in Ballarat, and this game where they've looked like a ship without its rudder.
Out at sea, yep.
You know, and that's the real worry, that a 33-year-old is still arguably, you can almost argue, not arguably, their most important player. And you're just structure-wise and all that. They were too tall in the end. Why not have gone with another small?
Well, I still can't believe Soligo was named
as the sub
in a game where you knew right from the get-go. I mean, they arrived there and had a kick the night before and it was wet and looking like it was going to be a nasty night.
And I don't get this, the supposed bit, oh, he was a bit underdone. Well, hang on, you can get an injury in the first minute, then the sub's got to play, as we saw with Richmond with Lynch. They were planning to play him less time. So many injuries he plays. So Soligo's, he's arguably been their best five players, so he plays.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, if he's fitting well, he should be in there starting 18.
Soligo
really.
Before Lachie Murphy is extraordinary.
Absolutely. Yeah. With Adelaide, I'm a bit of a half glass full on the basis that they are a bit light up front. They are a lot light down back. We know their troubles when it comes to their midfield in that they've got some good players there, but they don't have too much class. Dawson's obviously the exception to the rule. You know, I've seen in some of the media reports, obviously Rankin's being hung out to dry a little bit, but he is also an experiment in moving into the midfield. He's not going to be in all the right positions right from the get-go, considering his one wood is forward.
Yeah, he'll pick that up. It's also, I think the other thing is, Riley O'Brien's not easy to ruck off either. So
you lead me to my next point, right, is where do you see Witts falling in the AFL landscape of ruckman?
Better than O'Brien.
No, I get that.
Medium to upper level.
Okay. But the only reason I ask you that is that if Riley's struggling against someone like a Witts, how's it going to go against a Gorn or a Grundy and Soldo, who, you know, seasoned players that will tear them apart?
For mine, I'm still mystified. I'm still shaking my head. Ruck for mine has been a huge weakness at Adelaide since 2017. Mm-hmm. We're entering 2024. Nothing's changed.
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
What is it, Adelaide's Achilles heel there? Ability to not really pull the trigger like we've seen in previous years on a game plan B or a game plan C?
Oh, look, with that, there's just such subtle differences. The half forward comes up or he drops back, the plus one or he doesn't, and that. There's lots of things happen which people aren't aware of, you know, in an actual AFL playbook with who's the roamer, who's the blocker, you know, people don't actually realise that a ball up, it's actually players' jobs not to get the ball. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot, it's a lot more complicated than what you realise. Mm-hmm.
It's not the sea ball, get ball like it used to be.
And I admit, I've read one and that was an education in one and how long it was and how subtle the differences were, which people don't. You just don't pick that up unless you actually know what's going on.
Absolutely. Now, we've got to give credit to Gold Coast. I mean, obviously, a quality team. They did everything right in the first two and a half, three quarters. They made Adelaide look slow, over-predictable, and really kept Adelaide at bay. Yes, all right, the conditions weren't the best. And Adelaide are a high-possession, clean-possession type team, and wet weather conditions like that, like we saw last year when they played up in Darwin, anything slippery, they're just not acclimatised to.
I also didn't get it. The Berries seemed to be doing a job on Rao to start with, and then they seemed to take that away, and then Rao just absolutely dominated. Okay, yes, he was too big and too strong for Berry, but Berry was restricting him to some extent. Mm-hmm. As soon as Berry went off, he was the dominant player. Yep. And, you know, you'd think so far, I reckon that's two games for six Brownlow votes for Rao, I would have thought. So, yeah.
They're going to trouble a lot of teams, Gold Coast, this year. We understand that. As I said, I'm a bit of a glass half full with Adelaide at the moment on the basis that a couple of players missing down back, a couple of players missing up forward. And really, at the end of the day, it's round one for them. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So, look, the jury's out a little bit, but there are some worrying signs there that do need to be addressed. And, you know, this sort of leads me probably a little bit to when we talk about the Western Bulldogs a little bit later, is that if you don't make those key personnel changes, it can come back to bite you long term.
Yep, well and truly.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to Port Adelaide. Predictable, solid performance from Port on Sunday. Just, is this a bit of a warm-up for what's to come?
Yeah, I think so. They were playing the cones. They were certainly playing the boundary umpire. They were, you know, with that, like, West Coast got one goal from out of the crowd.
No, the guy was on the footbridge going over the Torrens.
I did like the line where someone said he actually he got a hot dog and he was one of the very few people who could afford to pay for it as a player. So I thought that was a good line.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Port Adelaide were on song what they had to do. Yes, all right, they were a bit inaccurate in goal, but I think they were shooting it somewhere near 70%. Into forward 50, we're scoring 70% of the time, and that's a very, very high number. Now, you talked about Walker being very, very important to the Crows structure. Is Charlie Dixon very important to Port Adelaide structure?
Oh, I think he's important, but I still think Marshall's more important as the forward for Port than Dixon. Mm-hmm. And just Charlie, you just don't know how his body's going to go. He quite often he can start a season, then his body gets banged up.
And that's why I sort of say, is he important and will they manage him a little bit like they, like Adelaide are going to probably do with Walker and Sloan a little bit this year, and Boakey as well for Port? Are they going to manage these guys to get them, you know, sort of cherry ripe for the finals?
Let's go back to that one. I think there's probably more news this week, but distinct doubts whether Rory Sloan will play.
Yep.
At all.
Again, yeah. At all. Yep. Yeah. And that's been on the cards. I mean, I know he's been trying to get back to program, training and everything like that. Yeah. So obviously they've got to reassess it and sign off on it, really, at the end of the day.
So we'll see on that one.
And like we've said, there's more important things than food. So, Dixon, important to Port Adelaide, but not as important in the scheme of things.
It's also that I think he doesn't organise the forward line.
But he does straighten Port Adelaide up.
He does straighten them up, but I don't think he's the person, you go there, like Walker does. Yeah.
Big forwards are hard to come by. That's really what it gets down to. And if he's taking one key defender, that opens up Marshall, Georgiadis when he's playing. Even seen Horn Francis playing out of the square as well. So they're really mixing it up a little bit.
Horn Francis is such a hard matchup because he's so quick from his first initial burst.
Yes.
It's just so explosive. Yep. So, South did that a little bit as well with Horn Francis. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm not surprised to see that they'll do that because that does break them up.
Where do you see Finlayson? Does he fit into this group now?
I think so, especially with Lord being injured. Mm-hmm. Lord injured, I think they'll be cautious with Georgiadis as well. Mm-hmm. So I think he therefore starts. Finlayson's got more important things on his plate at times. So,
and that's
not at times. That overall is probably the better, and the better word. Apologies for not the correct phrase there. Mm-hmm. I just think at the moment, I think he has got a spot.
Yep.
He also gets a chance this week on the G against Richmond with an undermanned defence too with their injuries. So,
And then my last one on Port Adelaide is probably the Soldo Sweet combination. Are we going to see them on the field at the same time, or is this going to be a case of whoever's in the best form is going to get the job? And that's a good place for Port Adelaide to be. Like we've talked about, ruckmen are hard to come by as well.
Yeah, I think Soldo's got the number one spot, but I think they will use Sweet at times.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked about Finlayson first, is that he has obviously rucked as well. Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's talk about last week's results. Carlton v Richmond, and that ended up turning into a real arm wrestle in the end, and full credit to Richmond, three players down, injured, pushed Carlton all the way, and Carlton have got an unbelievable stat, almost like Collingwood of winning tight games.
But Carlton should have finished them earlier. They missed some goals there where they should have put Richmond away a lot earlier, especially with down the rotations with the injuries. And, hearts out to Gibbicus there. You knew straight away that was a knee recovery. It was just so obvious.
Yes.
Losing three players, one you can sort of still cope, but three with a lack of rotations. But wasn't it also pleasant to see players have to stay on the ground and actually change up forward, be the old style, change in the pocket?
Maybe
it didn't hurt as much as everyone thought it would.
Wave them away when they came to the bench going, no, we can't, we've got no rotations. But no, congratulations obviously to Carlton there, but big shout out to Richmond. I thought they did pretty well being as undermanned as they were. Sydney v Collingwood, predictable-ish a little bit, but I expected a little bit more from Collingwood.
Collingwood are a bit more of a worry than I thought they were after round one. Look, there's one thing about this competition, it is ruthless at catching the older guys. Now, Pendlebury has looked a step or two off those first two games. How struggled, looked a couple of steps off, missed the first round and all that.
Yep.
And Pendlebury just all of a sudden is getting caught. Basketball, or how much time does he got to get around?
Yes.
All of a sudden that seems to be slowing down, and
Now,
incredible, huge game for them this Wednesday night. Thursday night against St Kilda.
And Sydney are red hot, like the GWS Giants at the moment. They are doing everything right. Do you think they're a little bit better without Buddy?
I just think it varies as a more. Buddy became just so predictable. Teams could zone off, have the two or three against Buddy, where all of a sudden it could go to McDonald, could go to Marty. When Heaney's coming off the ball, he's now so confident, so he's getting so much of the ball around the ground. I think he's relaxing a bit more than what he was playing as a forward.
Yep.
And he's just there, so he's a very hard matchup again.
And Papley's buzzing around always.
Yep. So, yeah, they look heaps of options. And
I think they're much better balanced in the scheme of things.
The margin flattered Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, they got two or three goals in junk time at the end.
Yep.
So that was, I thought Sydney were just very convincing.
Yep.
A lot more questions on Collingwood. Yeah.
Just go back to Collingwood for 2 seconds. The word around, and teams are not going to make excuses. It's not going to happen. But, they've had a couple of weeks less of their off-season, their downtime. And they've had to come back and play opening round, which was 1 week earlier than everybody else. And we've sort of seen it with Brisbane, and we'll talk about them a little bit more. Do we think Collingwood are sort of suffering a little bit that they didn't quite get the break that they want? Or is this a case of they're just building into the year and looking like they're going to change things as it goes? But you don't want to be too far behind the eight ball.
Look, they lose McStay. And, okay, while McStay didn't play a huge amount last year, when he did play, he straightened them right up. They had the key forward. They rely a lot on Milicek, however you want to pronounce his name. And if he struggles, they really haven't got anything else. Ash Johnson was terrible.
Yes.
Lack of competitiveness. And, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play another game. Oh. With that, I think McRae aware of player having a bad one. That wasn't a bad one. That was just a lack of having a real full-blooded crack. Yeah. I think he's in the Magoos for a few weeks, and he's going to have to show some desperation.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
What do you think about, obviously Collingwood have got some injuries, but also they've traded out some players. It's not the same group as last year either. That's the thing. So you've got to take that into account a little bit. But I'm of the opinion that they're just not as fresh as what they would have liked to have been. And each team would like to be a lot fresher, don't get me wrong. But
as I said, I remember Tyson Edwards last year where he just all of a sudden got caught. And Pendlebury, side bottom especially to me at the moment, is the one who's reminding me. I thought of it last Friday night watching.
Yep.
So, it's just going to be interesting to see what they do. And all of a sudden there's a test for Craig McRae. He's had the honeymoon period where they've been so good,
and
won
winning
so
the
many
tight
close
games
and the happiness. And all of a sudden Norton too, pressure. So it'll be really interesting to see how he responds.
It's been interesting to see him on camera. He
looks
really
prickly and, not the happy-go-lucky.
Yes, there's a lot more thought going into everything that's going on, and, he just does not look comfortable at all. So, it's going to be an interesting watch on that one. Essendon defeating Hawthorn pretty predictably by 24 points there. GWS taking care of North Melbourne by 39. Again, the Giants are just doing what they need to do, and they've had an impressive start to the year as well. The game of the week for me was probably going to be Geelong and St Kilda, and it sort of lived up to expectations with Geelong just getting over the line by 8 points.
Yeah, and Dempsey, very good, won the Rising Star and was probably the most important forward on the ground. I'll go back to the Hawthorn-Eston game. It's actually on at the moment as we speak, the appeal by Sicily on his one game. I would love them to come out and say, you've got a game for stupidity.
Yep. We'll talk about that in our Hot Topics after this segment where we do all of the teams and the tips for the week. Geelong and St Kilda unveiling, obviously, the new stadium down there at GMHBA. It looks impressive.
Oh, we drove past it when I was in Melbourne. Unfortunately, didn't have the chance to go in. I got outvoted on that one, surprisingly. But, geez, it did. It looked fantastic. And, yes, I did manage to get a bit of a look at the new stand. It looks very...
Yep.
Impressive.
Now that increases their capacity to 40,000. Yeah. Geez, 40,000 Geelong supporters screaming is a huge advantage. And also, they're looking at possibly playing finals down there because of the amount of supporters that they can fit in down there. So it's going to be an interesting watch for Geelong this year as far as their home stadium goes. All right, let's move on to the Dockers and the Lions. Big surprise here late on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And again, so they started the game well again.
Well, four goals up.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard Longmuir talk last night about they felt like they were in control, but they gave away, a couple of 50-metre penalties and a free kick in the square, which gave away practically three goals.
Well, now that's – so you've had the first round and last year's prelim. That's three out of the last four games where the opposition's had a run of seven goals. Mm-hmm. It's just not a great stat, that.
No.
Yeah. So there's,
there is, I think, some cracks just opening up a little bit. And Lachie Neal sort of came out and in the press, and then Fagan comes out in the press and says, well, what do you want from us? We've told you the truth. We've been up front. And you want to make the story a little bit bigger than what it was. And that was a bit of a weird comment for me because I thought Neal put it very, very well. He just outlined exactly what everyone had seen. So the Melbourne getting up over the Bulldogs by 45 points. We've got them on our Hot Topics list. We'll talk about them briefly now. The Bulldogs look out of sorts.
Especially if it's round one.
Yeah.
Some of their weaknesses still just haven't seemed to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Still weakness with a key down back.
Yep.
Norton still at centre-half forwards a question mark. Why they haven't put him back to centre-half back, but there seems to be a real bit of pig-headedness about that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, we did say last week it's going to be the...
looking and just going, I just...
The two teams that have got the most off-field drama were playing each other last week, and I feel like Melbourne put a big line through what they're doing at the moment, and now all the heat is on the Bulldogs, so... Yeah, crazy. Adelaide, we did talk about earlier, losing to the Suns by 6 points, and Port Adelaide, obviously, beating the West Coast Eagles by 50. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. When we come back, we've got some AFL hot topics to go through.
Yep.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
All right, we kick off with our first hot topic. We've already... just touched on it a little bit in the both grand finalists from last year, starting off 0-2 for the season.
Jeez, makes a huge game for both them. North 3 is a hell of a lot. It's hard to come back to make the 8, let alone to compete from there. So huge games for both.
And you mentioned earlier that it's such a ruthless game these days. You only need to be off by 5%, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of the pack, which I don't think that they both those teams would want to be as well. Where are the Bulldogs at? We did talk about it just briefly before the break. Did we see the real Melbourne on the weekend or not?
Possibly, but I just think with the Bulldogs, it's still huge. I think Bailey Smith's an enormous loss for them.
Mm-hmm. He may not be there next year. That's the other thing.
Exactly. He may well have played his last game for the Bulldogs.
Exactly.
I said they're getting scored against. That's the big thing. Against, they consistently are getting over 100 points scored against. Well, if that's happening, you're not going to win that many games at AFL level.
Yep.
And I just think they're not tight enough. Not sure how much their on-ballers run the other way. I think Treloar, I think Liberatore is probably a bit better than Treloar in that regard. But mm-hmm. I'm just not convinced that McRae being injured and that. So, yeah, there's a few... Yeah, question. More than question marks.
I almost sort of see them in the bottom five now. I didn't see them there... come the start of the year. Well, I thought
they weren't in our eight. So,
no, but I thought they recruited okay. I don't think they recruited to set the world on fire. But now I'm starting to sort of scratch my head, and when you start looking at some of those stats, you go, if they don't change it very, very quickly, they're going to find themselves down, you know, that bottom third of the ladder very, very easily. Match review. Kicking, headbutting and jumper punches, mate. They're all on the agenda tonight.
I'd like to see Goers get a game for stupidity. Now, what Sicily did yet again, he's captain of that club. 2 minutes into the season of Hawthorn's first game, he's been a bloody idiot. If I was coach, I'd pin him against the lockers, the old-fashioned thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
For goodness sake, pull your head in. We can't afford you to keep being an idiot. And I do agree with Nathan Buckley, though, that he's been reported for kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kicking is either not reported or you get four games. One game for kicking?
Yeah.
Hang on. No, that doesn't make sense.
Well, apparently it goes on, I think it was Ratings. Merritt.
Yeah.
Merritt was saying, I didn't even know he kicked me.
Yeah. So,
but you look at the vision and it's as clear as day. You can't.
Oh, I can't see how you can get off, personally. Now, that they're going to argue that that should be downgraded on force. Well, hang on. Oh, I only softly kicked him? Piss off. Ridiculous.
Like attempted striking.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mean to hit him. His head got in the way. Like, really? Come on. Headbutting also has raised its ugly head with a couple of players this weekend that have been caught. One of them against Max Michelinie, obviously, in the Crows Gold Coast game. And the other one was Melbourne and the Bulldogs, Stephen May and the ex-Melbourne, is it Harms?
Yeah.
The ex-Melbourne player as well. Interesting that on the same weekend, two relatively unknown rules have just come out of the blue where you just don't see that happening anymore.
It was Andrew McGrath too. Yep. Not that that matters. But just, it's just dumb. Mm-hmm. Don't. Yeah, I'm just shaking my head in disbelief. Yep. As I said, I'd give Sicily a game for stupidity.
I agree with you. I think you should get two at minimum. Yeah. And then obviously the last one is the jumper punch. And we saw a week earlier Lachie Neal and the Carlton gentleman go at it. And it's all right, let off with a warning. And yet Redmond's going to get a week or maybe
and
even
he got
two.
A game. No, he got, yeah, no,
sorry, he got a game. He took the game.
The game. Yeah. Where, again, just lack of consistency. And today, I'm sorry, Laura Kane yet again, it comes in, the decision on with Dangerfield with Stocker, just come out and say the umpire made a mistake.
Yep.
Don't do this bullshit of saying everything, no, that was correct. No, it wasn't. It was a mistake.
Yep.
And well, you lose respect dramatically. And I'm going one for Laura Kane. I think she's struggling. You know, big time. Mm-hmm. I'm making no secret of that.
Yep.
But to hear that today, I'm just thinking, oh, for goodness sake, no AFL.
Yep.
Don't do that. So I'm not just blaming her. No. That's an AFL thing, and it's just stupid. It's crap. What are we all, anything in life, you lose respect by not admitting you made a mistake.
Exactly. We'll leave that one where it goes. All right, Ollie Dempsey named round one rising star. Unearthed a couple of young juniors down at Geelong, and that was... That's what makes him exciting this year.
Oh, as we said earlier, for me, he was the one dangerous forward on the ground. Max King did look good for Sydney as well, but, yeah, interesting.
Absolutely.
I think Dempsey, I reckon he's poised now. Be interested to see how he goes Friday night.
Absolutely. And to finish off our AFL Hot Topics for this week, mate, Tasmania gets the ball rolling, unveiling, obviously, their new club colours, their new club Guernsey. And to date, as we speak, 82,000-plus foundation members.
Brilliant thinking by Tasmanian side. They only charge $10, so it's the token $10 donation. Guess what? They're going to have a database of over 100,000
yep.
in the end. It's a huge database to chase up people and all that. It's a thing. I would love to have a job in membership in Tasmanian side at the moment because now – I think it was brilliant. If they'd gone 20 or 50, 20 they might have got away. But anything, I just think $10 was brilliant thinking.
Yep. New colours, mate. State colours.
State colours.
Now, I know.
I'm surprised Port Adelaide aren't carrying on like pork chops, you know? So, yes.
That's a little bit of a bit of a dig there. Obviously, the Guernsey, it was designed to get Tasmania united behind this team. It's not going to be their end product. I think that's what we've got to understand, and a lot of people don't quite understand, is that, yeah, that's quite a nice, and that's their state Guernsey, but at the same time, you know, they're trying to sort of appease all parties at the moment until they get this project off the ground. And really, 2028 isn't that far away, and state election this weekend is going to be very, very interesting watch for the AFL and also, you know, football people around Australia to see whether this gets up. And my controversial view or comment for this week is that Gather Round will move to Tasmania as soon as that ground is built in the middle of Hobart, because then they'll have three ovals.
Yeah, possibly. It'll just depend.
And it's a boost for their economy right from the get-go.
No, I agree with that. It'll just be... There's a lot of things to get Oval ticked off as good now, and it's been a learned experience with Nord that, and people don't get it, that Nord is the only Oval in South Australia ticks that off at the moment.
Yep.
It is.
But they do have two AFL Ovals, so.
Yeah, true.
You know, and I think that'd be a good way to pay back the investment that hopefully gets made by Tasmania in their new stadium. I hope it goes ahead. I think it's exciting.
There's an election on the weekend down in Tasmania. That's pretty – I think it's probably a lot of people at AFL House are going to be panicking at the moment.
Yep.
You can't get word, and I did try, but haven't got a reply back, which I don't blame that person at all for that, for not getting a reply. I reckon I might get one next week. So well, the
medium machine's in overdrive. All right, let's quickly get on to this week's matches, mate. We've got St Kilda v Collingwood Thursday night.
Toss the coin job. Do you back the Pies to rebound? I'll still probably go Collingwood, but geez, it's toss the coin. I'm going to wait till I see the teams as well.
Yep, I'm going to go St Kilda. Yeah, Ross the Boss is an angry
I may well go St Kilda in the end. I just want to see the sides.
No, I think Ross the Boss is an angry ant at the moment. So, and he'd be disappointed in just dropping that game to Geelong on the weekend. We might leave both Adelaide teams to the last part of this segment, so that way we can do our closest to the pins. We've got North Melbourne v the Dockers at Marvel.
Yeah, I'll go the Dockers.
I'll go the Dockers as well.
You have to.
They had a few injuries as well and were still able to put Brisbane to the sword. So you got to back them in as well. This one's an interesting one for me, Melbourne and Hawthorn.
And I'll go Melbourne.
Yeah, I'll go Melbourne as well, but I just think that it's something. It's going to be an interesting game.
Especially if Sicily.
Oh, yes, agreed.
Sicily's suspension stands.
Agreed. Sydney v Essendon.
Sydney, it's in Sydney.
He is at the SCG, correct. The Bulldogs v the Suns down at Mars Stadium in Ballarat.
Again, I want to see the sides here, but I give the Suns a massive chance.
Oh, I think the Suns are going to be 3 from 3, mate. And West Coast v the Giants at Optus Stadium.
Yeah, I'll go the Giants.
Carlton and Brisbane obviously having the bye this week. Yep. All right, let's go to the two Adelaide teams. We've got Port Adelaide v Richmond at the MCG.
Yeah, I'll go Port. I think the injuries on Richmond to lose Gibson and Young, so you lose two defenders to have to come in. I just think Port will have a bit more depth.
Yes, I'm going to go Port there. What's your closest to the pin on this one, mate?
I'll go 28 points. I'll go Johnny Wynn.
There you go. I'm going to go Port Adelaide by 38 points. So there you go. And Adelaide playing Geelong here at Adelaide Oval, 7:10 Friday night.
I'll go Adelaide to rebound, but geez, again, toss of the coin job. I give Geelong a huge chance, obviously.
You've got to go on Adelaide's form at home. I think they're itching to get home as well from last year.
And
I think,
Walker will play.
Yeah, and I just think that they'll rectify what their deficiencies were last week. And I give Adelaide, and my closest to the pin for Adelaide is probably 11 points.
I'll go 15.
There you go. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. When we come back, we've got some cricket.
Hi, I'm Rachel Spawn, and you're listening to the Game On podcast.
All right, let's continue on with cricket. Sheffield Shield final, Tasmania v Western Australia. Who you got, mate?
Well, it's in WA because of Tasmania's stupidity. We did cover that briefly with Tom Kelly, and as he gave us a bit more of an impact. Like, we saw how green the wicket was, and Tom to say how, well, it actually became harder to bat on.
Yep.
It's extraordinary. I cannot believe it. Tasmania, if they made 258, and you got the 100 overs to get them, 258, would have hosted the final.
Could have gone at a snail's pace.
Why they didn't prepare a road has me stuffed. And yeah, okay, they've backed their skill set, but skill set on a wicket like that, it becomes almost Russian roulette, and I think it makes Nathan McSweeney's 100 even a more of an achievement. And
well, getting the inside information going that, it was actually a hard
wicket.
Well,
I was following it on the thing, and you were seeing, on the last day, we'll still get there, we'll bowl them out easily, because there was virtually 3 out of 6 balls were play and misses.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, well, they're going to nick one in a minute. And that's exactly what happened in the end.
Yeah.
And it just did heaps. Well, Connor McInerney took 5 catches for the game, and I'm pretty sure every one of them was at fourth slip.
Yep.
Now, you quite often don't see a catch at fourth slip for the game, let alone 5, which was extraordinary.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who you got? You going to back Western Australia in this case?
Yeah, I will. I will back Western Australia.
Western Australian cricket has been on the up and up for a couple of years now, and I think they're going to continue that trend.
And district-wise, with the 2 district A-grade finals this week, I'll go for Glenelg to defeat Port Adelaide.
Yes.
And I'll go for Sturt to defeat Adelaide.
After speaking with Tom, I can't disagree with both of those selections, mate, and obviously talking with you about it as well. So,
since we are now talking about cricket, I'd be shot if I didn't mention the Paynham Dukes.
Yes.
Are playing against Hectorville at Paynham Oval. Game starts at 12:30. Everyone is welcome. The bar is open from before the start of the game.
Yep.
and also the one-day side actually play in the grand final at Devitt against Fulham on Saturday. So, Paynham, love to see some people around about the club on the weekend.
Absolutely. District finals obviously wrapping up. Hopefully, we don't get too much rain over the weekend. I think we're going to get a drop or two, so we'll see how we go. Perth to get the first test or the nod ahead of the Gabba being snubbed again. Is this a little bit to do, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, is this a little bit to do with the new stadium's not going to be built or refurbished?
No, I think Brisbane has still got a test, so it's just the order. It's going against the traditional order, which always used to be Gabba first, then Brisbane, then Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney. So they've changed the order around, which I admit I can't quite work that out why. Because weather-wise, I thought you were always better off to do it that way. With Perth, you can play there anytime. So,
Anyway, Aussies playing county cricket this year. We've got Harris, Renshaw, Webster, Agar, Bancroft, Bartlett, Boland, Hampskin, Hughes, Labuschagne, Lyon, McAndrew, Nessa, Sams, Tremaine and McDermott. A huge number of players playing county.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of changes in the last few days. Hardy from WA was playing, and now the ACB have ruled against that, which does hint that, therefore, he's probably going to be in the 2020 World Cup squad.
Yes.
And also poor Sutherland, who did his hammy for Melbourne in the last game.
Pekoski as well.
Pull out and, Pekoski, exactly.
So, you stole my thunder there in naming those players right on the money with them obviously having to withdraw. Is it because that there's not going to be a whole lot of test match cricket over the next little bit that they are heading over to play in England? Is this quite normal to have this number of players go over? Because it seems
probably
excessive.
No, it is. It's more than normal. It's unusual for, especially like a test bowler in Nathan Lyon. And it's interesting that I think he's going to Notts on memory, and that Hartley and I think it's Bashir and Notts as well. So all of a sudden, he goes to Notts, one of the two players.
Lyon's at Lancashire.
Yep. But I think the spinners are there. So I just, Notts, I made the mistake there with Lancashire. So you're going to have an England, a guy who's just gone to England. The two spinners probably won't play, which is, it seems a bit weird in that way.
Yep.
So it's interesting.
It is interesting. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. We'll come back with the SNFL, SNFLW, the soccer, and also our interview with Tom Kelly.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
All right, we'll keep our SNFL segment relatively short this week because it was only a couple of trial games, but good wins to Sturt, West Adelaide, Norwood Centrals and North Adelaide.
Yeah, also probably the North one was a little bit different because Port took their AFL guys off almost. So it became, then it was the top-ups came in and they were well up till then. So probably that one a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah, Norwood defeated South pretty easily. Probably the interesting one was West Adelaide beating Glenelg.
Yeah, I agree.
Both teams had a bit. Sturt beating Adelaide. Sturt have been probably the most impressive side so far in pre-season.
Yep. Well, Marty Matten is a great coach, and he's ever since he's been there, he's got them up and firing.
I think they've recruited pretty well
Agreed.
A couple of things there. I think South are going to struggle, especially Brooksby now retiring as well. They're going to be very young. There is a lot of potential from that South 18s premiership side last year.
Yes.
Whether they can keep them all together and not lose people to other clubs and the dollars around. If they can, I think they can build. But whether you can do that over a 3 or 4 year period, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yep. Obviously, some good trial matches there. But this weekend, we've only got two trial matches. It's Port Adelaide v South Adelaide at Albert and Oval on Friday night at 6:15 and Woodville West Torrens v Adelaide at Footy Park at 4:45 p.m.
Interesting venue.
I would have thought that had been played out of Theberton or even Woodville West Torrens.
Yeah, probably Theberton. Well,
Torrens would probably be still involved with cricket.
I'm just trying to think if Woodville have got any teams in the – obviously their A grade didn't make it because they've got relegated from Div 1. I mean to be rude with that. I'm just trying to think if they've got any teams lower. Yeah, it's interesting. B But then they may have been programmed that a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah.
Yep.
But I'm probably a little bit surprised it's not at Woodville.
Yep.
If it's available.
Or Theberton as well, considering they have been using Theberton all through the preseason as well. So, anyway, so good luck to both of those teams. Now, we're going to do a SNFL-only podcast like we did our AFL one last week. We might try and get a couple of comments from a couple of teams and we'll speak with somebody for a couple of minutes and speak about their options this year. And we look forward to doing that over the next little bit. All right, let's move on to the SNFLW. Round three winners to Glenelg, South West and Woodville West Torrens.
Well, the dominant one was Glenelg beating Central last year's premiers by 7 goals.
Yes.
Getting Bates back from Collingwood, she's come back and has dominated so far. Probably the outstanding player so far in the comp.
Mm-hmm.
South beating
North Adelaide, very convincingly.
I was surprised they'd lost their first two games, South Adelaide, and North, I think, rely on too few there. I think they're dead. West Adelaide have been the pleasant surprise.
Yep, they defeated Sturt.
That result surprised me. So Westies are probably a little bit better. And Woodville West Torrens, look, on Sunday it's a bit of an unusual game. I did go and have a look.
Mm-hmm.
Nord managed to hit the same goalpost 5 times.
Oh, wow.
So it was almost like they were aiming at it. And a couple of those, and look, one of those was from a kick inside the goal square, and then Woodville West Torrens went down the other end and got a goal. So, in a 5-point game.
Well, and Woodville West Torrens were very accurate, kicking 7-goal 1 to 5-goals 8. So.
Nord certainly had enough chances. I thought the play in general was dominated by either side at various times.
Yes.
Woodville West Torrens probably ball movement was better than Nord's.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think of the Woodville West Torrens, the left footer, McKinsey, how you pronounce it? So I'll have to check on that name.
Yep.
The dominant forward kicking 3. And I thought their ball movement was better than Nord's, but Nord's did miss a couple of absolute sitters.
Couple of gimmies.
Yeah.
Obviously, the ladder with West Adelaide and Glenelg sitting undefeated after the first 3 rounds. So very, very good. Followed by Central, South, Norwood, Woodville, West Torrens, Sturt, and North. So round 4 games. Who have you got in round 4, mate? We've got the table clash in West Adelaide and the Tigers.
Yeah, I'll go for Glenelg. I think they're just their depth. And they've probably just got the topper echelon too. Probably goes 1 or 2 players more.
Yep.
Than any of the other sides.
Structure looks pretty good by the Tigers as well. So
Patterson good on the weekend too for Glenelg.
Stephen would be very happy.
No. If she has a good kick, it's the mum's the kicking coach. Stuffs it up. I tell Paddo he's a kicking coach. So it's become a standard joke between us.
Nah. So I'll go Glenelg there.
Yeah, I'll go Nord to rebound against North.
Yep. And you've got the Panthers v the Eagles. Or
good game. I'll go South because it's
Flinders
at,
Uni.
Yeah, at Flinders Uni Stadium, no longer. Yeah,
and then the Bulldogs v Sturt.
Yeah, I'll go the Bulldogs because it's at the Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm. So. Game of the round for me, probably the Panthers and the Eagles.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not commentating this weekend, mate.
Still waiting to find out. Actually.
We are recording a touch earlier, understandable. All right, let's move on to the soccer, mate. Round 21, Adelaide United beat Newcastle Jets 1-0.
Finally.
We called it last week, a little bit of a morale-boosting game for them, and that's exactly what they did. And, to be honest with you, they looked a lot more attacking, a lot more proactive, and, you know, United takes the points from a team that they really had the better of and better shape throughout the ground for most of the game.
Yeah, so it's a pleasant thing they've got to win 4 or 5 games in a row effectively to probably make it. So they're still well and truly pushing the wheelbarrow around the wrong way and to make it. But
well, they beat Newcastle, who were one spot above them on the ladder, so that helps. Their next match is against Western United at Hindmarsh on the 29th, so we'll talk about that obviously next week. But, you know, they've got a good opportunity to string a couple together, and like we said, for morale, you want to be stringing a couple together to really keep everybody engaged.
Yeah, yep.
All right, let's take a very, very quick break once again, mate. And when we come back, Tom Kelly from the South Australian Redbacks and the Strikers.
Hi, I'm Mark Harity, and you're listening to the Game On podcast.
local legends.
And we are pleased tonight to welcome aboard Tom Kelly, promising redbacks and strikers batsman, has made a casual 500s in various grades this year. TK, welcome aboard, mate.
Thanks for having me, Malcolm. Appreciate it.
Thank you, mate, for joining us. We start off with most of our guests with a bit of a junior career, but you're still a junior yourself. So let's get into your current career at the moment and what's going on in cricket at the moment for you.
Current career, one game to go this year.
Yeah, big game, TK.
Yeah, Sturt Blues are in the grand final in Div 2, which so we've already earned promotion, which is good, but obviously you'd love to win the whole thing. So, yep. Just wrapping up Redback stuff too. Exit meetings and stuff, and then off to the UK in May. So,
where are you playing in the UK now, Tom? I refreshed the memory on that one.
Place called Dumbleton, so we play in the Cheltenham Premier League, which is in Gloucester. So.
Have you had previous experience there, or?
No, first time heading over, so it'll be a little bit different. Looking forward to it.
That's exciting. How did that all come about?
So our pom for Sturt this year, Tommy Borman, is from Dumbleton, so just linking up with him again. So that's how that all sort of came about.
Will you be doing any bowling, TK?
I won't be bowling, Malcolm. I'll sit at first slip.
I thought that might have been the answer. Okay, Tom, with a few things this year, to your credit, now Sturt went down, to your credit, and to the Sturt Cricket Club's credit, I think as a club it showed that they're still a very strong club. Had a blemish of a year. We can debate whether they should go down and all that sort of thing. That's a different subject. But to go down, everyone stayed loyal. You've kicked on this year. You've been the dominant club in Div 2. Now, Tom, it's, with this one, you've had a great year personally. You've made a lot of runs for Sturt, but then a lot of runs at State, second 11 and that. Okay, while you're not facing the better bowling attacks in Div 1, we're playing with Div 2, there's no such bad thing as runs to give a batsman confidence and how much the game's played above their head. How have you felt that's worked for you this year, Tom?
It's got its obviously, flaws, as you said. Like, you're not facing as quite the quality. There's still quality bowlers, but just the depth. The third and fourth bowlers aren't probably of A-grade quality. But it's teaching. The thing is, it's teaching you how to win games of cricket for your club and bat big and make big hundreds, so...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it definitely helped my second 11 cricket as well by making big hundreds for Sturt and learning, relearning. Because you never lose how you learn. You've got to relearn how to...
Yeah, just to keep batting.
Everyone's technique changes every year slightly, whether you know it or not. So you always got to keep teaching yourself to get through different sort of periods of time. So it's definitely helped still playing. And like you said, it shows. Well, we won the club champs, and we got three out of four senior teams in the grand final this week.
Yeah.
So we feel we're still a dominant club in Premier. Our facilities probably aren't Premier. The personnel and culture-wise, we're definitely a Premier club.
No, I'd agree with that. I like that ground. I like the ground in Mitcham, though. It's a homely feel. It's a little ground with atmosphere, like the game where I came down to watch. There was good pass player numbers down there that day. I was very impressed with it in that regard, and that where a lot of your Sturt guys stayed very loyal and that. So go through your year as well, Tom. So with the Strikers, you are known to do the mic bit. Go through that experience, Tom, and tell everyone about the weight you've got to carry and how that all eventuates, mate.
That's good. It's good fun. I enjoy it. Just being myself, and I think people enjoy me being myself on it rather than you sort of straight up the line answers that a lot of blokes give. But that just comes about the day before a game. They'll contact the media manager for the franchise, and then he'll contact you and ask if you want to do it or not. So you don't have to do it. You can say no, but it's usually batsmen who do it because bowlers obviously can't really run around with the battery pack on their back. So. Yeah, that's how that sort of all comes about.
How is that carrying that battery pack? Because you're normally fielding on the mid-wicket boundary and then come up to mid-on and that. So how do you cope with that sort of extra, the weight and that sort of thing?
Oh, it's all right. You just don't want to land on your back and it might actually hurt you. But it's all right. You sort of don't notice it once it's on there. So it's just, you don't want to land on your back and it'd probably crack your spine, probably.
Well, Tom, so go through a couple of... So how many hundreds did you make at State Second 11 this year?
Two hundreds.
And then, of course... Yeah. Look, and I don't want you to comment on this one, Tom. This is my own opinion on this one. I don't want to put you in the bad books here. But you came into the South Australian side, you get a, and you're in the side, you get 80-odd in a one-day game and then miss the next Shield game and then come back in and bat four. I'm a big fan of when South Australia was strong, the kids had bat five or six and the, and have the experience around. I still think that's what should be happening on a personal side of things. And as we know, with cricket being a game played just so much above the ears, that you're gradually getting the confidence that I'm good enough for this level, batter beautifully in that one day game where you against, trying to remember, Queensland, wasn't it, with the 80-odd?
And yeah, that,
yeah, and just where the illustrious Alex Carey has set the world record, and he knew that coming off the ground too. I'll give Alex his due. He was quoting the people he was equal with as he came off the ground when we were fielding that day, if you're aware of that or not, Tom. So you got that, and then you miss out. So I think there's been some interesting selections, to say the least, a bit frustrating, but... Hopefully those couple of 50s have done you the world of good. Then you gradually get more confidence. Now, I want to have a crack at Tasmania. The last game, we go down there. Now, Tasmania had to make 258 to host a Shield final. You did well to find the wicket when you were walking out to the bat. It was that green. It was ridiculous.
It was unbelievable. It actually got hard as a bat on because it was a little bit slower day one with how wet it was. And then... obviously, he was creating divots, taking grass chunks out. And then as it quickened up with the sun over the next 2 days, it got harder to bat on. So even though we got dobbed in, we probably actually had the best of the batting conditions. Like McSweeney played one of the great offs in recent memory for South Australia. But, yeah, it was just it was amazing when we rocked up. We thought it was going to be flat.
They needed a
draw to host the Shield final. And, yeah, they sort of cocked that up. And now they got a... fly to WA to play it. So
it was just extraordinary how green it was. I'm sitting, someone who is known to watch the odd Shield game or two, as you know. I've been at a Shield game with 16 people there, Tom, and I knew every one of them. I realised they had a tragic life. It was just, I don't think I've ever seen a wicket that green. Against South Australia, where our strength is our medium paces, McAndrew, Buckingham, Doggett, Orager, whatever, it was just unbelievable. It was, if I was the Tasmanian players, I actually would have been quite dark about it.
Yeah, obviously they backed their own skill set to beat us, but and like we've been saying all year, we haven't been too far away. We ended up with three Shield wins, two more wins, and we're in the final.
Yeah.
And we... lost a couple games, well, a couple wickets or 50 runs too. So we've been right in games, real tight ones, and just been on the wrong end of it. So hopefully with more experience, we can turn the tide on those results and then, push for Shield finals in the next few years with the core young group we've got now.
Because there's no doubt our bowling did well all year. And we've actually got a fair bit of depth, like... quite incredibly, Spencer Johnson only plays the one Shield game for the year and that sort of thing. So we go quite deep there in the pace bowling side of things. Spin bowling's probably a little bit more debatable there. We really just need a couple of batsmen to stand up beside McSweeney. And, we're actually not that as far away as the North, Redbacks, we are fighting to avoid the wooden spoon again and all that sort of thing. I actually don't think we're as bad as that sort of headline.
No, I agree. And if you look at it all around the country as well, and I mean, Paul Lima only won one toss this year, but after Christmas we got sent in on four green ones.
Yeah.
And you look around the comp and there's barely any batters averaging above 40, and there's a lot of bowlers averaging... like sub 25, so I think it also plays. I know everyone obviously it's easy to go, you need more runs, but I think as well the wickets that we played on this year were a lot more conducive to seam bowling.
I'd agree with that. I'm saying, look, as a person who's watched a lot of Shield cricket since the early 70s, I reckon that's as much as I've seen wickets everywhere do something this year. Like, I really don't think there were any roads this year at all.
I can't remember there being... the wicket we played on out at Cricket Central was probably a touch too flat, but it was the closest wicket you'd get to a proper shield wicket, where it was a real grind with the bat, real grind with the ball. And it was a test of character and not just a bit of luck, you know, on skill, on seeming wickets. So it actually made both teams show their proper skill sets. And so that was a draw, but there wouldn't have been too many other draws throughout the season.
You find that perhaps the drop-in wickets have got a little bit to play with, those wickets being a little bit greener than usual?
Yes and no. We don't play on many drop-ins because we don't play many games at the main grounds anymore. Like, you sort of only play around Big Bash time. So, the drop-in wickets definitely probably a touch juicy, but, I haven't played enough on them to really comment. In terms of long form, because in T20 cricket, they're all just beautiful wickets to bat on. There's no real bad ones, so, yeah.
So the confidence gain from those couple from the 250s in that game against New South Wales, Tom, is that the thing that you probably take most out of the year at Shield level-wise?
Yep, definitely is. It feels like I sort of belong. I've tightened up a feeling in my technique, in my defence, so now it feels like I definitely am comfortable enough at that level to hopefully start in the team next year and put a couple of good performances on the board early, and then, you're away for hopefully the next 10 years. You're just in that middle order, picking up your two or 300s every year and averaging 40, which is obviously what you want to do as a batter, but to do it for your own state, where obviously we don't produce the talent we need to have 11 players, you can say. So I'll just love to do it for SA for as long as I can.
You mentioned a little bit earlier on there about playing, club cricket, grade cricket, and batting for long periods of time and working on your technique a little bit. Do you think that actually helped you in that game, just stick it in a little bit longer?
Yeah, I think so, because even though it's Div 2, there's still times where they bowl really well in pockets as well. So, it definitely helped mentally, knowing that, at a different level at Shield, they don't miss as much, but... Yeah, being able to get through it and then waiting for the bowlers to miss eventually.
Now, the Div 2 Grand Final this week, Tom, where is that being played? Is that at Mitcham?
Yeah, the home of cricket, Royal Oval.
I thought you may add that comment, yes.
Yep, so we're at home, so looking forward to it. The Oval's looking stunning and the wicket's going to be hopefully flat, so...
And you technically only have to draw that game, don't you?
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's the same rule as Div 1. So Glenelg in Div 1 and Sturt in Div 2. So this week, Tom can effectively bat. You and Brad Davis can effectively make a couple of hundred each this weekend, mate. Effectively.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Do you like that scenario?
I don't mind. It's a compulsory declaration now. 100. If you bat first, you have to declare it 100.
Oh, okay. So that has changed. Right. Apologies.
Yeah. So that has changed, but... it'll be all right. So,
100 overs is a lot of cricket. It is a hell of a lot of cricket.
Still a lot of time to bat. So,
and Glenelg did it very well last weekend, and then really pushed the accelerator in their last few overs and made 397 against Adelaide Uni. So effectively batting Uni right out of the game.
Exactly. So that'll be our plan as well. But if we bowl first, then hopefully bowl them out, and then. Just bat for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Now, mate, we'll get off the cricket for just 2 seconds. Obviously, the Mitcham Hawks share the facility with Sturt there at Mitcham there. Were you ever sort of kicking around the football a little bit?
He's the son of Matty Kelly.
I'd be
in the doghouse if I didn't say that.
I was trying to lead him into it.
I'd be in trouble if I didn't mention that.
I was trying to lead him into it gently.
Yep.
150-game junior player for the Mitcham Hawks, so played here since I was 7 years old and up until I was 17, so absolutely loved my time, and I'd love to get back, but obviously now living up in the hills and with cricket and stuff, you're pretty hard to get back here on a Saturday. So.
Is the Guernsey, is that the Harry Boyd Guernsey framed yet, mate?
No, it still hasn't been washed either.
Okay. Oh, I thought that'd be the case. I don't think getting washed was going to ever be in doubt, DK. So,
no, that's correct.
Yes. Hey, Tom, all the best this week. Anything come out of the exit meeting in terms of direction-wise? Hopefully it was reasonably positive, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's coming up next week. But okay. They're usually pretty tame for the young blokes. So, yeah, I'm not too stressed about it. Wait and see what I have to say, but, yeah.
No, you sound like you've recovered pretty well from yesterday, so greatly appreciated in that regard too, TK. And
no worries at all.
Mate, all the best this weekend too.
Best of luck this weekend, and hopefully a big score is on the cards and next year's even bigger and better.
I admit, Paynham are in a grand final this weekend as well. Paynham's first grand final since 2011, so just across the road from where we're interviewing at the moment at Paynham Oval, so... I admit that's where I'll probably be spending the majority of the weekend, TK. So, yes.
No worries. Beautiful. Thanks for having me, gentlemen. All appreciate right, that.
Thanks, good mate. Luck.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, TK.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.
And we thank Tom for his time there today. And, yeah, just some very interesting conversation around obviously the Tasmanian last game and the green top and how he observed that it was a little bit harder to bat on and yeah, and just his ability to bat out in Division 2 this year and work on a couple of things that has helped him in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah, and then make a couple of hundreds at second 11, force his selection. Also, you know, off to England, so I'll be following that with TK. So, yeah, wish him all the best. I'm pretty sure I'll be catching up with him at Nord Oval on round one. Mm-hmm. He's still around then, mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure he'll wander over and sail on the scoreboard on round one.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Pleasure to have him on board.
Happy days.
All right, happy birthday. Every now and then we've got to chuck in a different sportsman. I know we do the AFL and the SANFL players most weeks, but on this occasion in 1960, happy birthday to a very famous Formula One driver in Ayrton Senna, born on the 21st of March 1960 from Sao Paulo in Brazil.
And we certainly remember that just absolute tragedy in 94.
Absolutely. Passed away, obviously, on the 1st of May, 94, at 34 years of age. And when you think about it, that is a very, very young age. Widely regarded as one of the greatest Formula One drivers of all times, Senna won 3 Formula One World Championships for McLaren in 1998, 90 and 91, as well as a slew of other driver victories in various races. His death during a race in 1994 led to widespread global mourning and was considered by many Brazilians to be a national tragedy. Almost 3 million people gathered in Sao Paulo during his funeral, the largest gathering of mourners in modern times. It's just amazing to think about that, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was just terrible. I think we all remember that. It's almost a remember where you were moment, like Lady Di and that sort of thing.
Yep, September 11 and so on. Yeah. From a local point of view, obviously 1989, French McLaren driver Alan Prost withdraws for early in a wet Australian Grand Prix here in Adelaide, but wins his third Formula One Drivers' Championship, wins by 16 points from his teammate, Ayrton Senna. So we definitely, I remember he seen an accident on one of the corners and actually stopped his car and helped somebody out. So, yeah, tragedy in that respect, but happy birthday nevertheless in remembrance to Ayrton Senna.
Yeah, probably the way to describe it.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1958, cricket, Sir Garfield Sobers completes a century in each innings for West India versus Pakistan.
Oh, one of the all-time greats. You know, you debate Brabham or Sobers. Sobers, best ever all-rounder. You know, his seasons here in South Australia, you just hear KG and that still talk, the guys just talk glowingly and some actually got bowled and Sobers raced in and put the bails back on at second slip and said, bloody hell, he's even better at anything like that, let alone cricket,
Definitely a character of the game and, happy birthday to him this week. 1995 basketball, Michael Jordan rejoins the Chicago Bulls after 17 months. And then beats the Pacers in his first game back.
Yeah, it was fascinating that he had a crack at baseball and
look, he wasn't too bad.
Yeah, but he's obviously because he's so good at basketball, you're immediately thinking. So it's but then to just casually be away a year and a half. And you know, we know players, when they miss that long, tend to struggle. But he just steps back in and he's the superstar as always.
Three more championships to add to the three before he retired. 1997, Major League Baseball announces a five-year, $50 million deal with Pepsi as a sponsorship. Probably leads me to my point in that
yeah,
a lot of...
I wouldn't mind that doing that for us, Pete. Absolutely. You and I could be doing it, yeah.
I'll get on to Pepsi as we speak. But, you know, obviously it's important that, you know, leagues, country leagues, local leagues, whatever, have sponsorship dollars.
Yeah.
Obviously we're working on some sponsors at the moment. And, you know, every dollar does go back into the game or does help as well. So I thought I'd just add that one in there. And our last one today, 1983, tennis, clash of the tennis legends, Martina Navratilova outclasses Chris Evert-Lloyd 6-love, 6-2 to win the first of her five straight WTA Women's Tour Championships at Madison Square Gardens in New York.
Yeah, so...
legends of the game.
Just two of the all-time greats. Probably the most surprising thing there is that it was 6-2, 6-love.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably the most surprising thing.
Yep, and we've seen all the documentaries with those two players and how they're very well regarded, not only by opposition players, but by each other and are really best friends these days. So, all right, let's scoot into the extra time. Big finish, mate.
Yep.
Extra time. Big finish.
All right, we did mention in tennis, Simona Halep was obviously banned for the drug substance, but it has been lifted on appeal. Looks like she's going to make her way back to court, and Darren Cahill, who's her previous coach, has obviously got some positive words for her in her return.
Yeah, let's just wait and see on that one. So, yeah.
We will. Yeah. Bees invade the Masters event in the US. Holtz play for almost an hour. There was a massive bee swarm during the Alcaraz-Zverev match that meant that play had to be halted for a period of time. And, yeah, it got out of control there at one stage. So you don't see that too often at tennis tournaments, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And to finish us off on tennis, Australian breakout star Arthur Kazaks, I think that's how you pronounce it, passes out on court in Miami in a very distressing event where he was waiting to return serve and literally keeled over. Not great scenes. You don't want to be seeing that on a tennis court.
Pretty scary.
Especially from a professional player as well. So... wish him all the best in his recovery, and yeah, we'll keep a bit of an eye on that. Might report back on that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk NBL, mate. Melbourne United takes game one, 104-81 against the Jack Jumpers.
Yeah, so the second game's tonight.
It is.
As we speak, recording on the Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, huge game down in Tasmania. Go the Jack Jumpers tonight.
Absolutely. Trying to level the series obviously, one all. And to finish us off on the NBL and basketball, the 36ers continue to build by appointing a new GM, and that man is Matt Weston, who comes with a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, he's certainly pretty impressive CV.
Around the place.
Yeah. Hopefully that's a really good important appointment for the overall game.
Do you think this is all part and parcel of the 36ers and their rebuild and how we sort of said there needed to be a little bit of a review?
You would possibly, I think we've alluded to that. I think that does tick off the criteria, for want of a better word.
Yep. Yeah. And obviously without coming out and saying we're doing a full-blooded review, it does seem like they're going through things with a fine-tooth comb. And on this occasion, it looks like they've got themselves a ripper in the new GM of football, of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's race through the next couple, mate. NRL player sanctioned over some explicit radio interview dropping four profanities four times, basically within the space of a couple of minutes, and he was let off with a warning. The NRL is the Christmas gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable yet again. Yeah. Staggering.
Absolutely. Storm player pulls off a last-minute miracle win with a freakish play. That was amazing.
Huge.
It almost reminds you a little bit of the American football, how they can dive for the line like that or try and sort of get themselves into a good position to score. But on this occasion, we haven't seen anything like that on Australian shores. So very, very good. And I think the Storm started off this season with a 2-0 record, which I think is some sort of record for any club in the NRL. Might chase that stat up for you next week, mate.
Yep.
And then a player gets a two-match ban because he bumped into the umpire because the umpire was in the way. I knew you'd like this one.
Yeah.
The umpiring position didn't exactly help either.
Well, we've had there with that, and the same thing with the AFL with the Dangerfield Stoker free kick. Just come out and admit when you make a mistake. So he's got two games. Look, yes, touching an umpire is sacrosanct.
Absolutely. But hang on.
If I'm umpiring a game and I get in the wrong spot, I apologise to the player.
Yep.
Sorry, mate.
Yep.
Get on with it.
And that's why I brought it up. Yeah. I meant the poor guy's getting two games for the umpire being in the wrong spot.
Weird. Weird.
Crazy, crazy. And, yeah, I don't know if there's any appealing in the NRL, but I'd be certainly looking at appealing that. But, anyway, it is what it is. All right, we'll move on very, very quickly to the F1s. They roar into Melbourne or hit Melbourne for 4 days at the Australian Grand Prix. Gets underway from the 21st of March.
Yeah. The event again, it's, I don't think it's ever taken off in Melbourne as it did here.
Yes. And that's why I bring it up, because I don't think it has.
No, I think it's just another event over there. We're over here, it was huge. And Adelaide was the perfect spot. It was the street circuit. You heard the drivers say how good it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The facilities are there. They've got enough wide open space, which leads me into my next point, is that there's some growing pains at the event. That are scheduled at this year's Grand Prix, because the supercars are almost being pushed out into makeshift-style tents for the event, forcing the supercars to rethink their participation in 2025.
Yeah, yet again. Still should be in Adelaide.
It's a festival of motorsport, really, at the end of the day. You want to be making sure that every motorsport racing group, supercars, G2s, G3s, whatever that is going around is involved in the day. And as soon as you start pushing people out, I think, into sort of makeshift tents, I think you're going to get some problems. All right, let's finish off with a couple of very, very general questions. Who is the best AFL player not to have won a Brownlow? We put this up on our socials the last couple of days. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, mate.
Are we going from the AFL era?
We are going from the, and this is why I wanted to ask you, because I knew you'd be on top of it, because, yes, since the AFL era came in, not the VFL / AFL, the AFL era only.
I'm absolutely forced, I'll go Wayne Carey.
I'm going to go Andrew McLeod. I think he was a bit unlucky with that bump where he's a little bit off the ground.
Oh, it was also the game. There was a game in Perth, a game where he got 35 touches and didn't get a vote. If he got one vote, he's a Brownlow medalist. So, that's. Kerry, you could go Garrett. You know, so they're probably the two.
Yep. Fair cool. And to finish us off, mate, a ball hitting an aerial camera in the football.
Yeah.
Have we gone too far with trying to provide too much content?
Yeah, it was weird. We just go, hang on, what's happening there?
And nobody noticed it. Like, the players didn't notice it, but they're focused on the ball.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Their first reaction is to get the ball. But the umpire was almost in perfect position to see that it completely stopped dead and dropped dead.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't call for a ball up, which I would have thought is the rule.
The rule apparently, as it goes, is that if a umpire sees it, automatically it's a ball up.
Yeah.
If the umpire doesn't see it, play on as per normal.
That, but, he should have noticed that,
Crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Good, the bad, the ugly for the week. Quickly, mate.
I'm going to go the Stocker Dangerfield free kick, and yet again the AFL, just like Arthur Fonzarelli, they can't say the word wrong.
Fair call. My good for the week is obviously the...
I'm going to go Sydney, in terms of I've just been really impressed with them. Them in the two, in the two rounds.
Yeah, I'm going to go both Sydney and GWS as well. I think they've been and Gold Coast to a certain degree. They still have a ways to go, but I think GWS and Sydney. Gee, could you imagine that they play each other in a grand final?
Well, probably it'd be a good market for scalpers. I reckon they'll be in with a lot more chance there.
Absolutely. Yes. My bad for the week is probably the AFL with the kicking, headbutting, and jumper punches.
Yeah.
Real inconsistencies there.
Yep.
That probably leads me into my ugly as well. So, anyway, we'll leave it.
Yeah, I do. I'll be wandering out to Central Districts versus Sturt in the 18s game on Saturday. Yes.
Fantastic, mate. All right, we'll leave that one there for today. And, again, another huge episode. We've just managed to fit it all in. We thank Tom Kelly for his time today and giving us a little bit of insight into not only his cricket personally, but the finals that are taking place this weekend.
Yep.
And as per usual, mate, we look forward to hearing from everybody or seeing everybody next week, and we promise to do better.
Go the Jukes.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.